Good morning. We're here this morning by way of video to explain why we have closed church for a few weeks and trying to explain our situation give a biblical accounting for it. Oftentimes when you do things like this, people get in the air and they talk about conspiracies, they talk about the rights and wrongs. They bow the neck and say, no one's going to tell me what to do, and I'm not accountable, and the government can't say. And my emails have blown up this week with preachers trying to say that those who close their churches are liberal, those who do not are staying by the stuff, and so on. And I don't agree with those. So I want to give my own account to my church and my people today. As to the reason why we felt it necessary to close our church in view of the coronavirus situation. I think that President Trump is doing a good job, and what he has done has been for the sake of the nation. Whether you go along with that or not, it's non-essential for me and or what we're going to say this morning. We're going to be in the 13th chapter of the book of Romans. 13th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul, under the inspiration of God and by the Holy Spirit's leadership, actually gives a discourse on civil government and those who are in power and authority over the nation or the state, the city, the county, whatever it might be. And I wanted to give our relationship as a church and as Christians in general to civil government and the powers that God has ordained. So, reading from Romans chapter 13, verse number 1, making comment as we go to explain and then coming back. He says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. In other words, human government is a permanent extension of the arm of God. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Israel had experienced good kings and wicked kings, but nevertheless, they were under that particular style of government. I might remind people who oftentimes tell me, when I began to question laws and things that are being instituted today, they say, preacher, remember Romans 13. And their idea of that is that we're to obey government no matter what they do or where they lead. And I don't agree with that particular situation. I remind people that if our forefathers had believe the same way that these individuals do, there would have never been a United States of America. They went as far as they could in obedience to the king, and when it overstepped the boundaries there, then they did pull out and began to form their own government, their own nation, for religious liberty and other reasons. It's been stated that civil obedience ends when godless wrong begins. So with that in mind, civil obedience ends when godless wrong begins. What I'm seeing today as far as President Trump and the nation goes is I'm not seeing a godless wickedness wrong committed against us in telling us that we cannot have church, we cannot have gatherings with more than 10 people and so on. What I see is they're trying to stop the spread of a pestilence that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24 and said in the last days there would be signs, and pestilence would be a very big part of those signs. Coronavirus actually qualifies as a pestilence. And so I see it as something that God's trying to tell us that if this is not the sign of the end, but it is very much like what the end will be, there will be chaos, people snatching, grabbing, people trying to hoard, people trying to buy, trying to sell, and prepare for themselves what might be coming. I see this as a worldwide issue, not just as a national issue, And so I see the opportunity for a one-world government to rapidly come on the scene and a one-world ruler who now has all of the answers and all of the situations wrapped up if you will just give allegiance to him, submit to him, and follow him. You and I as Christians, of course, will be gone by the time that takes place. We'll be gone in the rapture. But I want you to understand that the powers that Paul is talking about is kings, presidents, prime ministers, senators, congressmen, governors, mayors, county sheriffs, anyone in a position of power and authority over the people. God has ordained that they should do what is right and honest and work in the place of God himself. Now, oftentimes we find that that's not the case, that they are godless. They make laws that are opposed to God's laws. And of course, we don't go along with that. But Paul is saying in the best instances, when the higher powers are ordained by God, put in positions where they are in that position for our well-being, for Christians and other citizens' well-being. They are there to punish evildoers and wicked men and women, to bring about swift punishment to them, to make examples of them, to protect us. We are not the threat. We are here as ambassadors for Christ wherever we're planted and doing the utmost to carry the gospel of Jesus wherever we are. So notice verse 2, he says, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." As long as government is following God, we are to follow government. "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good." The president, the prime minister, the senators, the congressmen, the mayors, the sheriffs, he says in verse 4, he is the servant of God. He is the minister of God to thee for good. In other words, for your well-being, for your help, for your protection. He's a servant of God to thee. And by the way, the powers that be, the president, the prime ministers, the congressmen, very well ought to be reminded that if they are the powers that God has chosen and they are the people that God is using to protect those who are righteous, then they are going to give an accounting to God for every action they do and every decision they make. And they will be called accountable to God whether they recognize him or not. "For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." I want you to notice what he says back in verse number 5. He says, "Wherefore ye must needs be subject." We are subjected to the powers that be. In our instance, it's a president, it's a Congress and senators and so on. "Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath." In other words, the penalty for wrong. If you do wrong, even as a Christian, you suffer the consequences of the law. Wrong is wrong, whether a Christian or non-Christian commits it. And so he's saying, Not only for wrath are we to be subjected to the powers that be, not only because it's wrong to run a red light or wrong to run a stoplight, it's wrong to steal, to lie, to do those things. You find that it's wrong for both the Christian and the non-Christian. But he says to us as Christians, he says, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, not only because of the penalty of the law, but notice what else, but also for conscience sake. In other words, there's more expected from the Christian than there is the non-Christian. In other words, to whom much is given, much is required. And God has given us his very own Son who died for our sins and has given us eternal life by our faith and trust in him. So God expects more from his children than he does the rest of the world. And the rest of the world expects more from those who claim religion and claim to follow God's laws themselves. So individually, you must needs be subject not only because of the penalty of the law or the penalty of the wrong, but you must be subjected to those in authority also for conscience sake. That means literally with your mind or your understanding. With your mind and or your understanding. At this point, I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to look at beginning in verse number 1. I want to read a few verses of Scripture. We're talking about conscience sake. We're talking about doing the right thing as a Christian or as a church member. Oftentimes today in these perilous times and in the face of the pestilence that we're dealing with, I hear Christians say, well, I'm not going to do this. Well, they say, I can't gather. I'm not going to obey. Listen, for conscience sake, for the right, here's what I'm talking about. Paul writes and he says, we then as workers together with him, we are his workmanship created unto good works. We that are workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. Now listen to verse 3, speaking to Christians, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. The ministry is not just what I have as a God-called servant, a preacher of the gospel. The ministry is what the church has and what every Christian has, a service back to God for having saved them, having given them a new birth, having given them a place in heaven now. And he says that you and I as Christians in the family of God, and in particular, people who are part of the church or the body of Jesus Christ, we should not give offense in anything. That's in the communities where we live. That's in the nations where we dwell. That's in the world that we're part of. Giving no offense in anything that it does not come back and the ministry be not blamed. In other words, we give no occasion of stumbling for those who are particularly not friendly towards the church or not knowing Jesus Christ, but they know you claim to be a Christian. It's much like putting the bumper sticker on your car that shows that definitely you claim Christ as your Savior, yet you're seen giving gestures to people who just failed to yield at that yield sign and they cut you off and now you're having road rage and you're jumping up and down in your automobile and you're not quite behaving like your bumper sticker says you are. That's giving offense to the ministry. And oftentimes we do those things when it affects us personally. And here Paul talks about this, and he says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, approving ourselves or commending ourselves, proving ourselves to others that God did and does work in us and We really are part of His family, and we really should be different than the rest of the world and think differently and behave differently. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, and that means in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God. How do we approve ourselves? By the power of God. Oftentimes when everyone else is falling apart because they do not have the foundation of being born again and being in the family of God and having the Holy Spirit guide us and strengthen us, they oftentimes panic and have chaos in their lives and run this way and that way, not knowing what to do. But they see a difference in a child of God who is strengthened by the presence of God, who is led by the presence of God, who has his guidance and his courage centered in the very presence of the person of the Holy Spirit. They see a difference in you. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Christians ought to behave differently in the good times than the rest of the world, but Christians ought to behave differently in times of pestilence, in times of war, in times of distress, in times of panic when others are losing their minds. You ought to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And that's basically what Paul is saying here, giving no offense in anything, not behaving like the rest of the world, but behaving like children of God, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. With that in mind, that's one of the reasons why I decided to go ahead and submit to the laws of the president, to the laws of the governor, and close church for this Sunday and this coming Wednesday. Today is the 21st of March, and so Sunday will be closed, Wednesday will be closed. That will give us almost three weeks of quarantine from our services. That should be ample time then to reevaluate and see what's going on. So I don't consider this compromise. I consider this obeying the Word of God. God said, when they do these things for your good, then you should submit. When they began to make laws that tell me I cannot preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, when they began to make laws that tell me and define what marriage is rather than what God has already stated it to be, the union of one man and one woman, then I have a problem. When they began to make laws to tell me that killing of the unborn is not murder at all, but a form of birth control, then I have a problem. But in this particular case, with this pestilence, with this disease that is worldwide and rampant, it is not about how many people die from it. It is about the chaos that it causes. It's about the hardships that it causes. And it is about submitting to the powers who are trying to solve and make a way to take care of this particular pestilence and this particular problem. So I have no problem in obeying what the president and others are putting before us. I have no problem as a Christian dividing the two and understanding the two, that as I obey the president of the United States and the governors and the mayors, I am obeying God in this situation. I am being godly, I am being righteous, and I am being holy. Only when civil obedience ends, when godless wrong begins, will I not submit. I will not submit when godless wrong begins. But right now, no problem. I hope you understand. I hope you're praying for us and praying for us all. Pray for the Christians around the world and the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise Him. we look forward to him. I kind of take this in a different